Hello, everybody. It's Aaron Goodwin. I'm doing the podcast here with you guys right now. Well, I'm not doing it with you guys because you're listening to it, but kind of because I'm answering Facebook questions. I put this question like, hey, what do you, you got any questions? And I'll answer them. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm answering the Facebook questions. All right. First question is from Christina. I'm going to get all these names wrong, so I'm sorry, but it's Christina Shamblin. Christina Shamblin, come back to Oregon. I wish. I really would like to, but I've realized that from what I'm doing now and stuff I'm trying to do, I need to be either in New York or LA, and I don't really want to live in LA, but I love visiting LA, or California, I should say. So Vegas is only like a 4-hour drive, so it's kind of quick to get there. And so I just kind of hang out here. I got all my business and all my friends out here, so I don't know. I've always wanted to leave this place, but then once you go somewhere, I guess 10 years over, you're like, oh, hey, I guess I'm a Nevadian, and you become that spot. So I'm kind of stuck in Nevada for a while. I'll probably get out of here. I want to move. Where I want to move it to is Salem, Massachusetts. That's where I want to retire. But for now, Vegas, and to be honest, I don't really live anywhere because I'm always somewhere. I'm always traveling. So, if I have some free time, I usually swing out to LA. And so, but I hardly get back to Oregon, which sucks. So I do need to come back out there more often, but it's hard because I never get a chance when I'm off. I come home and chill. All right. That was a lot. Let's see here. Let's do another one. All right, next question is Shelby Jurcevic. I'm not sure. Jurcevich. Oh, I'm kind of embarrassed. Sometimes I just can't pronounce these names. But yeah, here we go. All right. What do you do between lockdowns? I'm guessing, like, what do you do in between, shooting? I come home and I work on Eaglewood Collections. I do a lot of, I try to do, here's my routine. I wake up in the morning, I do some big step in orders. I check some stuff on the emails. I wake up after having like 3 cups of coffee. After that, get something to eat. Then I'll come back and I'll usually just, clean or try to get stuff in my life that I got to do, like pay bills and, just the normal random stuff. I do a lot of that because I'm gone, so I have to come back and get it all done. Then I pretty much sit there and I work on other things. I'm trying to do a picture book right now. It's like just all the pictures I've taken. It'll have like little cool sayings in it. It's like a coffee table book kind of thing. I'm trying to do that. So that takes a lot of time because I take so many pictures and then I have to go through each one of them and look at them and I critique them and I'm like, yeah. And so like, I just got to pick the best ones. And then, so I don't really get too much of that done because I'm trying to do other stuff too. What else do I do? Then I pretty much, okay. So I do that till about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And then, I usually go out and hang out with some friends for a little bit. And then, after that, honestly, I go maybe to the strip, walk around for a little bit, and then I come home by 2, and then I come home and I work some more. My relaxation is working. It's weird. But yeah, so that's kind of my routine. Good question. Let's say next question. How do you feel? Okay, from Okay. Chloetoye. Sorry. Maybe I do got it right. Maybe I'm pronouncing it perfectly. But, all right. Anyways, her question is, how do you feel before doing a lockdown? Nervous, scared? Depending on lockdown. Sometimes, yeah, nervous. I don't know, ever since the Winchester Mystery House and like I kind of lost it in that moment, something snapped. It was like during that moment where I was just staring at Zach and I wasn't really myself, I felt something there. And when I snapped out of it, it just threw me for a loop. And ever since then, it's been a different hunt for me. I am scared. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you can put the toughest guy in the world in these situations, in these like moments, and something happens and you get scared. It's your normal reaction. It happens. But it depends what you do after you get scared. Do you hang out and you confront it or communicate with it, or do you get out of there? So now when I go in, there's only been one lockdown lately that I have just been so scared to be in. Oh God, it was so scary. I had to have my back against the wall. I was just like, I couldn't move. I just felt so threatened. But the thing is now when something scares me, I kind of just go into it and I think, and I get spooked, but I stay there and I just keep going. I kind of, you know, like I always say, you know, if you fight with lions, you become a lion kind of. It's like, not that you are a lion, but you pretty much, you fight differently, you know, like if you're in there fighting lions all the time and then all of a sudden, you know, you go across humans, you're going to come at them like a lion, you know, like it just happens that way. So that's a metaphor, by the way. I do a lot of talking in metaphors, but so like now when I hunt, it's like game on, let's do this. It's weird. It's just been a different change, and I understand why, and I'm getting it, and we're getting great evidence. So then it changed, you know, so it's like, I don't know. That's what I do. I kind of go in there and I go ready for the battle and I walk out. I don't do any protection. I don't do any of this, like, you know, cleanse myself when I get out of there. I kind of just go with the flow. It's really weird. I'll get into another podcast coming up really soon, talking about exactly what I'm talking about right now. And it's just long. It's a long podcast. It takes a lot of explanation. And we're doing right now is Facebook questions, and I got off track. So, all right, next question. Mary Lynn Elizabeth. Hey, I got that one. That was pretty good. Would you ever investigate Gettysburg again? Hell yeah, that was awesome. I would like to go back to the Jenny Wade house. Maybe not for an episode, but just to go back there and do a little, you know, communication, see if it would happen again. But that's a great place. There's so many awesome spots there. So I would definitely want to go back there, and I'm sure the guys would too. But again, you know, we go to these crazy spots and you never know, because one moment, you know, we're going one place and it could change up because something else opens up. And so I think we were going to go back, but, other spots started opening up. And so we just, you know, put it on the back burner, I guess. Okay. The next question is Lisa Auxier, Auxier. Do you ever teach others how to hunt ghosts? Yeah, I mean, we go on ghost hunts and stuff and we show our style. Like when we do ghost hunts or events, I hunt, you know, maybe people learn from my style, but I really think that you should do what you feel is best. I mean, I guess you could be taught, but really it comes down to is going out there. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I always tell people, you know, don't do it unless you know what you're going to get into. And so if you go out there, open yourself up, use yourself as equipment, and then have the equipment back yourself up. Like that's kind of the teaching I would say, you know, like, you know, just trust your instincts, but don't over trust us sometimes. And always, when things happen, you know, always think, oh, there's a possibility it's not. But usually when you've come in, you go into a room and you kind of see the atmosphere, you know what's up, and then something crazy happens, you know what's up. And so, that's the best advice, yourself. And your equipment just proves stuff. So if you have a millimeter going, you feel an instinct, something happened around you, and that millimeter starts going off, there you go. It's like your body gives off the first reaction, and the millimeter proved it, you know? So I don't know. That's kind of like, I guess, there you go. There's some teaching. Sorry, it's late. It's like, what, 3:30 in the morning? Just all day. I've been wanting to do this for a while and get it done. And I just been so busy that, I was like, oh, you know, still up, might as well. So yeah, this podcast is being done at 3:30 in the morning. A lot of these questions are kind of the same. So I'm kind of just like going through and randomly picking here. Okay. Here's one. Olivia Popola. Olivia Popola. Hey, I know her. Do you ever regret being on the show from how much it's changed your life? Well, I used to be really scared, not wanting to do it. You know, like I was really nervous. I was like, give me, you know, I quit. This is before we started the show. It was after the documentary. Then I kind of got a little involved with it more, addicted to the hunt, I guess you could say, and the curiosity of it all. And so from that moment to about, I don't know, really the Winchester Mystery House, maybe a little bit before that, I kind of started realizing, okay, this is for a reason. This just happened out of nowhere. I never planned on doing this. And then there's a lot of significance to things that happened in my past. So it's kind of like, I didn't really realize all that. But as soon as halfway into it, I started thinking, I was like, oh, this kind of lands in my lap and I'm starting to understand things. And we're doing, you know, we hunt and do some crazy stuff like voodoo rituals, pagan rituals, all this stuff. And it's like, you know, like at the time, I don't know. At the time when we first did one with Lady Snake out there at Ancient Rams Inn, you know, I stopped it. I was like, I don't want no part of this. But then, you know, from Hellfire's Cave, I did another one and, you know, it's like I was okay with it. So it's like somewhere in between there, I flipped gears and said, okay, you know, like I'm glad I'm doing this. There's a reason to it. And so I had to go through all this stuff to realize that. But you asked me that question, you know, back in the day, I'd be like, yeah, I don't regret it, but I'm like, I'm nervous. I shouldn't say regret. I should say I'm nervous I did it. You know, like I'm nervous I did this show because of all the ghosts and spirits and stuff. So back then, yeah, now I understand why I'm doing it. I get it. And, you know, I love it. And I'm ready to even go further and stuff. So it's pretty cool. And I, you know, you don't know things. Took me all the way to 35 or in my 20s, 30s to realize, oh, hey, this is what I'm doing. Okay, from Darlene Harrison. How do you determine what locations you investigate? Honestly, that's Nick and Zach and Jeff Bellinger. They figure it all out. I kind of do this approach. I've done it from day one. I don't want to know where we're going, and I don't want to know the history. And don't get me wrong, I hear about it, or I've heard of the place. But, like, I go there, and, like, you know, the guys will say, hey, you know, we're going to this jail, and it's, like, all these deaths. I'm like, oh, cool. And I just kind of, like, that's fine. Because when I get there, I want to learn from the interviews. I want to learn right then and there exactly what happened. So that's why my reactions are so, like, oh, because I just learned that, you know? It just makes it so much more like in your face. And that's how I've done it. That's how I like it. So I mean, I'll throw ideas out to them or maybe suggest something once in a while, but I really just like to say, hey guys, we're going to Buffalo, New York, or we're going to California for this or something. It's like, oh, cool. And I'm all excited for it. And then when I hear the information about the place and the history, I'm like, whoa. And then it's like time to hunt. And it's like, ah, and then it's like, yes, you know. Does that make sense? So that's how I do it. So the question to answer that question would be Nick and Zach and Jeff Bellinger. And yeah. Here you go from Olivia again. Will you ever turn your nightmares into a movie one day? Yeah, that's the goal. It's weird. My nightmares have happened for the last... They really started like right... I don't know. Maybe... 5 years ago, 6 years ago, for like 3 years, and it was solid information, and I kept having the same kind of stuff until I remembered it right, like kept remembering it. It was really weird. It was like I was being told a story, and then, but it's really weird is some of that stuff in the nightmares is stuff that I'm learning on these hunts. And so I've been writing it all down, but I've been slowing down on certain things because I want to like learn more or dream or just thinking about it harder to understand maybe, you know, what's going on in the nightmare. So now I'm pretty much just logging it all down and I've been jotting it down. Adam and I have been really getting in doing these paintings, and it's tough too because some of these paintings, I don't want them out there because it tells a story. So it's like, of the nightmare, and it's like, oh, you can see a lot, but maybe not, you know. Like, so that's why I don't really talk too much about them yet, because I want, you know, I want a lot of it done before I expose the storyline and all that. But yeah, that's the goal, that's the plan. All right, scrolling down real quick. Stop. Okay, here's one by BC Casey Connor. Are you as cool in person as you are on TV? I hope so. I hope so. But yeah, I look at myself as just a normal person. I've always been a normal person. This kind of, you know, TV, I didn't plan on being on TV or anything like that, and it just kind of happened. So I look at it as like, oh, cool. But I mean, honestly, I do forget I'm on TV. Like, I'll be like doing something stupid in a casino or in public, like, let's just say picking my nose, and I look over and I'm like, oh crap, people are staring, and like, but whatever, you know, humans pick their nose, right? I mean, I don't. But anyways, so yeah, I always just like, for sometimes I forget, and then all of a sudden someone will come up to me and be like, Aaron, and I'd be like, oh, where do I know him from? You know, that first instinct of like, oh, high school, no, work, did I work with you? No. And then like, they'll be like, oh, love your show, and it's like, oh yeah. But yeah, I don't know, I just look at, I mean, I kind of, yeah, I forget sometimes I'm on TV. It's just, it's how I am. I've worked in it for so long, and shot and camera for film and television, that it's like, sometimes I just look, I'm like, this is a normal job, except there's a bonus. I get to hunt ghosts on the side. And so, yeah. Okay. Here's one from, Aaron Bingenheimer. I think that's right. Bingenheimer. How's Big Steppin' going these days? Honestly, Big Steppin' is going awesome. It's kind of cool, because all it is like, it's cool that the fact that it's like catching on, and it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of cool. why take small steps when you can be big stepping? It's kind of like a motivational thing. Like, you know, it's like that symbol just represents something fun, something cool, something new. But at the same time, something fun, something cool, something new is taking a big step. If you were doing something like, let's say you do art and you don't want to get out because you're shy, but you should say, screw it, I'm going to go out. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to do something, you know, and it's like, that's kind of big stepping. Let's say you want to be an actor, but you're just like, it's that little self-confidence that's not confidence inside you, you know, that just doesn't make you go out there and do it. It's like, oh, no, I'll do classes first, or I'll do this. And you just push away from doing it. Sometimes you just got to take that big step. Instead of going and doing the classes, just trust your instincts and go and do an audition, because you're going to see other things happening. You're going to learn, oh, that's how you do it. And you see it from the field instead of sitting there doing the classes and waiting, because you're wasting time. So that would be taking a big step, is just to go out there and leap and try to get an audition. All the way down to, let's say you're a drummer and you're outside and you're pounding on the drums, you know, like you want to join a band, but you know, like, you know, what band fits you. And so then you go outside and you start pounding away on the streets, on the buckets, just to make some cash, because it's fun to do and people love that. And so next thing you know, you're like, oh, but you don't ever do anything. Well, a big step would be go get an audition somewhere. Try to go to like a like, if let's say you live in Vegas, like this is just Vegas, you know, I don't know, you know, local bands or local pubs or local places, you know, I don't know, like Portland, like there's a huge scene up there, but I'm just not sure how you would tap in. But let's just say you're in Vegas doing the drums. Well, why not go to these casinos and see if there's an audition for a drum band guy, you know, somewhere? That's taking a big step. That's looking outside the box, or that's going straight to the big box and just trying. What's the worst going to happen? They're going to say no. So that's what you're expecting anyways. So you might as well take a big step and try it. Like, that's kind of like how big stepping is. That's how I see it, you know, that's like kind of how I've been trying to promote it. And, but it's fun, it's cool. So yeah, big stepping's awesome. And, I love it. It's just a new cool thing. All right. This one's from Trisha Shagun. Do you still have spirits follow you home today? Are these, you know, to this day? I don't know. I think, yeah, I do know. Yeah, I do. not from every lockdown, but I don't know. This one's another podcast on its own. So I'll definitely do one on this. But I do. I try not to mess with my funk. I don't try to, like, if something's going on, just roll with it. Because I used to do all the cleansing and it got worse, and I tried to bless the house and it just got worse. You probably heard tons of stories already of me saying stuff from the videos and podcasts I put up, but I don't know. At one point in time, I realized, okay, I'm not getting scared of this anymore in my house, and I'm not going to leave the house because something's happening or, you know, like scary stuff happens to me at night. So that's kind of like it was beating it, and it was kind of battling it. And so then I decided, okay, cool. So, and then, it takes a moment for the funk in the Spookville there to, like, kind of even out. But then things started coming home with me, and then it was like, imagine, like, you have dogs, and then you bring a new dog in a park, or let's say you bring it home with you. There's a little, like, they check each other out for a moment, then they become friends, like, that's kind of like my theory of what happens here when ghosts follow me home. Cause sometimes I'll come home and it'll just be like, the house will be so active, but then it, like, calms down. And so I'm wondering if, like, something followed me home and now they're hanging out and talking, but there's a little battle, or did it leave, cause I know there's something from Mackie's. It's always around, not always around, but I know it, it feel it, it comes around, trust me. And then, I took something back from, Jamaica, the witch, I brought her back. That's another podcast itself. I was testing something out and it worked. And then some energy that people say is like some, like, I don't know. That's a whole other podcast itself. So that, sorry, I'm going to have to get down to these ones, and like, there's a lot to explain. And so I'm going to put a bunch of podcasts out. And so I'm sorry, I'm not explaining this one, but I can't just, like, say something and then, like, not explain it. So there's a lot of podcasts coming out. Trust me. From Brent Jordan, will you be coming back to do a Louisiana lockdown? I hope so. I don't know. I never know. Like I was saying, I like to find out, but sometimes we come back to different states many times, like Kentucky and Cincinnati. We were there all the time, it seems like. But maybe, hopefully. From Brent Burris, what charities are you or have you worked with? My charities are... one is Beaten and Battered Women, and men too. I mean, emotionally and physically, like, things happen, and I hate that whole stuff. When I grew up in high school, I knew chicks, I knew girls who, would, be kind of abused verbally and sometimes physically. And, they would always come and talk to me, or, like, I don't know, I was a good talker. And so, like, they would come up and, like, express their feelings of, or emotions of what happened. And it kind of pissed me off. And then, like, I didn't go to college, but I went to frat. I tried to join a frat and go to college. And then when I kind of saw the frat life, I kind of sat there and go, oh, I don't want to live in a bunk with 30 dudes. This is weird. I want my own place. And then I was like, maybe this isn't my style. I'll just go to community college. And so I kind of stepped away from it. But, like, I saw what was happening there. And then you get older and you meet people who have had, like, verbally and physically abused relationships, and they get out of it. And that happens a lot. And so... I kind of see that all the time. So that's one of my charities. I don't like that stuff, but I go to someone has, let's say someone's trying to run from someone who's hurting them. Well, there's charities out there that they keep quiet, but they keep the people safe, and they help pay the bills, and they keep them away from somebody until something happens or it's a safe time to be released, So that's one of my charities. Then my other charity is, I do it every Christmas, is Toys for Kids. I don't know. you know, I grew up kind of poor, and so, you know, toy Christmas is about kids. It really sucks, but it is. It's about kids, you know, and toys and presents instead of like, you know, the day being with the family. I mean, that comes with it, but for kids, that opening that toy because of marketing and television, it's like that's a big thing. And some people who don't have money, it just sucks because they can't give them that kid that bright moment. And so what I want to do is just give as much as I can to the kids. And usually we bring in tons and tons of toys for these kids, you know, and that's a good organization and thing to do, you know. And I always go to the ones that aren't going to, like, you know, make money off your stuff or, you know, use, like, because, you know, some charities you give cash and that cash, they just do certain things with it, and you know, they might take some of it. I don't like that. So what I try to like give it to the best ones that I know that won't do that. And then also with the toys, it's like, hey, what are you gonna do? Take these toys? So I'm dropping the toys straight off, not giving them money. So it's like we know these toys are going to places, and that's kind of what I do. That's my charities. There's a lot of charities out there, but I want to, those are the ones that I kind of choose to do. And yeah. Good question. Next question, please. From Ashley Ritcliffe. How do you prepare for, you know, a new location? Well, pretty much, I'm like that. I kind of like that guy now who goes, like, you know, who's like ready to go to battle and he doesn't think about it. He just says, hey, let's just get this, let's do this, get it over with. Or not get it over with, but let's battle, you know. I don't have a plan. I just go in there and I do it. And that's kind of, I mean, besides the plan that, you know, Nick and Zach and I come up with for the hunt, but for like, just like, you know, mentally, I just go and do it. That's how I do it. I just go in there and I go and I hunt. And that way, I'm not thinking about certain things. I'm kind of mind cleared. I know with the history and how spooky it's going to be, but at that time, it's like, okay. Now bring it. Does that make sense? And then that's how I prepare. I don't do push-ups. I don't, you know, like do hell, you know, certain blessings or, you know, traditional stuff. The only thing I prepare, okay, I do have one. How I prepare mentally is when I zip that vest up. You know, when I zip that vest up, it means it's hunt time. That's time. And when I'm not wearing the vest, which are certain times, I do feel a little more, not so like hunt, you know, not so more like tough guy. You know, I think that vest is like a vest that gives me that, hey, let's battle. And then when I don't have it on, no, when I don't have it on, I'm still like, let's battle. Jennifer Jen, what does your family think about your lockdowns? Oh, they get spooked. They pray all the time. They worry. But if you want to really listen, I did a podcast here with my grandma, my mom, and my dad. So it's like an hour or a half hour long each one. So and we talk a lot about that stuff. So go to those podcasts and check them out. Plug in. Plugging my po just plugging the podcast, but no, but seriously, you'll hear the best stuff out of there, and it's fun. And yeah, they worry to death. They worry to death. Tracy Us, what is the funniest thing you've ever heard a spirit say? I got one. It was with Chris Fleming, and we were hunting with a group on an event at the Stanley Hotel. And Chris kept asking, he goes, who is this guy? He's pointing to me. And who is this? I think he was like, can you say his name? Or he was just trying to get him to, like, you know, who am I? And the spirit goes, big. And it goes, step. So I was like, that was the coolest thing. It was pretty funny because I was like, oh, big stepping. Because I am big stepping. And so that was pretty funny. Maybe I was the only one laughing on that one, but I thought it was funny. Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to have to stop actually here. And I'll do part two of this Facebook questionnaire. It's getting late. I need to actually go to bed here soon. Well, actually, no, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna basically download this podcast, set it up in the editor, and then in the morning I'll push play and start editing it. But tonight I actually need to download Sons of Anarchy. I only saw the first episode of the new season. So I got them all on DVR, but the second episode didn't record because, you know, DVR sometimes does that. So now I got to go to iTunes, download it, watch that one. Then I can clear them off on my DVR and catch up on those. So I'll probably get an episode of Sons of Anarchy out. And what else? I'll have to do something else during that. Probably just clean the house up a little bit. And then probably go to bed around 4:30 or 5. That's how I usually do it. So, yeah. So I'm going to get off. I'm going to stop this podcast now. And I'll do a part two coming up here in a short bit. Probably record it tomorrow, but I'll have it up in the next, like, couple days. So, or week. All right. Thanks, guys. And, yeah, catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening. Alrighty then.